and honestly, it's not going to sound like it. Unbelievable weekend. The only negative was MSU showing their cornhole to everybody on national TV. Everything else is great. It's Thanksgiving week. But, Rico, I have to do it. We'll get to MSU-OSU later. We're going to get to Michigan and Ohio State, but I have to do this. And I talked to you this morning, and you know I don't want to do this, but I have to do this. I promised when we started this year, I would show patience, I would show grace, I would give Dan Campbell as long of a leash as I could, provided he did one thing. Run the game right. Your roster's bad. We know this. Rico knows it. Tom the Lab knows it. Your roster's terrible. But thank you, Tom. But run the game right. You're a coach. Put your team in the best positions to succeed. I lay off. And I get it. We know they're going to be bad. Will they win 5 games, 4 games, maybe 3? Okay. I'll tell you this right now. Dan Campbell, I don't know if he's a religious man or not. It means nothing to me. And whether he drops to his knees and prays to the sky or puts his hand on a Bible, whatever it is, he should thank whatever God he prays to that he's not in a real market. Because if this guy coached in New York, there would be discussions about him being a one and done, about him being Rich Kotite, about him being Ray Handley, about him being Steve Wilkes. This guy is over his skis. And I'm not being unfair. I will tell you what. It's almost like Dan Campbell decided, oh, you didn't like the way I coached in Pittsburgh? I'm going to dip my middle fingers in dark chocolate and flip you off now for dessert. Because what he did yesterday in Cleveland, Rico, was criminal. What he did yesterday was malpractice. And there's two things. Now, there's a myriad of them, but I'm just going to center on two. And I don't want to hear about the roster. The roster has nothing to do with these decisions. Decision number one, you're down 13-7. You ran exactly 0 plays in the red zone. You have a 4th-and-1 with over 9 minutes to go in this game. This is the deepest penetration of the day. And the guy who told you we're going to be aggressive, the guy who told you Anthony Lynn is not doing a good enough job, so I'm taking his job, decided on 4th-and-1 to kick a field goal, to cut it to 13-10. What? What? You were averaging 5-6 yards a carry. You have Taylor Decker back. You got Sewell at right tackle. Both guys played well yesterday. They really did. And you decided to take the coward's way out and take the field goal. Now, again, if it's to tie the game, I'll live with it. And Rico can hold me back like they were holding beef stew back last night. But it wasn't. Cutting at the 13-10, no thanks. But it gets worse. What he displayed later in that game is the equivalent of taking the wind. You got the ball with over 5 minutes to go. Down 13-10. You took over 2 minutes off the clock to move 24 yards. That tells me this is your last possession because you took 2 minutes to go 24 yards. And on 3rd-and-14, down 3 minutes to go, this guy who thinks he's smarter than Anthony Lynn ran the football and punted. I'll tell you right now, this guy cannot be calling plays. This guy can't be anywhere near calling plays. Last week, I gave it a drive chart, and Rico yelled at me. All the 3rd-and-9, 3rd-and-12, 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-goal from the 9, run, punt.
But, Mike, I think you're missing out on something even early in the game when both teams were struggling. It was 7-0 Cleveland, and the Lions had the ball on their 45-yard line.
4th-and-inches.
And, yeah, couldn't do it. Couldn't get
it
done.
I guess to me, Rico, it's a distant third from 2 decisions in the fourth quarter that are malpractice. But if you want to include it in the fruit basket, here, go ahead, put another apple in.
No, no. The reason being, neither team was establishing anything. This is your chance. I'd rather you be ultra, ultra aggressive early in the game because you at least have enough time to make up for it if you mess things up. Kind of how they were in the Rams game. When they started out, we're going to do onside kicks and fake punts and all of this. If it doesn't work, you can recover. And I looked at that and I'm like, you guys, first of all, you couldn't – it was first and five, and you couldn't pick up 5 yards. But on fourth and inches, and yeah, let's just punt the ball. Seriously?
But again, I mean, of the three things we're discussing, that's the least offensive. Look at the 2 fourth down calls. Look at the fourth quarter calls I'm bringing up. You're not more bothered by those?
No, Mike, I am. But this was your chance to seize it. No, I think they're equally as egregious, but this was, you could have set a tone. Cleveland didn't have everything. If you could have scored and made that thing 7-7, Cleveland was hanging on, barely. It looked like Pittsburgh last week. They just weren't interested. And it could have been because of the injuries or whatever. But you had a chance early to set the tone. But yes, late in the game, you're a team that hasn't won a game. Man, we're not punting.
Third and 14. If you don't have a quarterback that can go get 5 or 6 yards to set up 4th and 7, 4th and 6, 4th and 5, why is he on the team? Why are the Lions the only team in the league that doesn't have a backup? Why? You know,
I don't know.
And I'll be honest with you. For all the garbage Dan Campbell takes, it's time to ask Brad Holmes a few questions. Because apparently, if Jared Goff gets hurt, we can't trust the backup to do anything. Look, the Houston Texans had a backup all year. They won a few games. The Jets signed Joe Flacco to compete. They had Mike White. Baltimore loses Lamar Jackson 10 minutes before the game. What is it with this team? Dan Campbell last week trusts his quarterback so little they play a dead guy. Then they come out this week and play the guy, and he won't throw it in situations you have to throw it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, the red flags are just turning into outright like decisions where I'm going, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. This guy is a tight ends coach. This guy's not a CEO. And all the little stuff I was worried about, all the ha-has that everybody loved. Everybody loves a good ha-ha. Everybody loves a good ha-ha. I want a pet lion. Ha-ha. I want to bite kneecaps. Ha-ha. I'm wearing a racing helmet. Ha-ha. This isn't funny anymore because now he's showing you he's that guy. He's football guy. He's not a CEO. He's not a decision maker. And how on God's green earth, a guy who's never been a coordinator in his life, took the play calling away from Anthony Lynn. And you know what that does, people? It says that he thinks Anthony Lynn should have been getting more out of this roster than he was. So now Dan Campbell takes the play calling over and gets less. They don't have 200 yards passing in 2 weeks. And this guy has spent more time running the ball on 3rd and 10 than even attempting to get a first down. So I want you to tell me, as we sit here at 0-9-1, winless, explain to me your belief in Dan Campbell. And do not bring up the roster. His decisions have nothing to do with that. They have to do with, this is apparently an internship to be the Lions coach. You get to learn on the job. We're running a regular Specs Howard over here. Maybe you can do a little broadcasting class with Rico Beard. He'll teach you how to cut sound.
And you'll learn well. No, but Mike, also the fact that Brad Holmes, Chris Spielman, they allowed him to take the duties away from Anthony Lynn. They didn't step in and say, nah, bruh. It's not what we pay you to do. You're going to listen to what they have to say.
It's ridiculous.
That's the problem. He's learning on the job. It reminds me when Luke Fickell was the interim coach for Ohio State. He wasn't ready for it, and it was a complete disaster. Now, years later, he's not one of the hottest names out there. But right then, you could tell he was out there with the books for like, okay, what should we do now? Looking like old boy from The Water Boy with the Coaching for Dummies book out there. Yeah, that's what it looks
like.
His
decisions he's making are almost suggestive that they're trying to lose. And I have never accused a coach of doing that. That's the biggest disrespect you can ever say about a coach or a player is say that you're simply trying to lose or you're throwing the game. I'm not making that accusation. So with that off the board, it just tells me you have no control over the situation. You have no idea what you're doing. And I'm sorry, not acceptable. This isn't low college ball. This isn't your first job as a high school coach. This is the NFL, man. And you know what? If you're a Lions fan and you want to write it off and just say, well, the roster's bad, you do you. But what I'm talking about has nothing to do with the roster. Now, if you want to talk about the roster, why don't we ask the question, how the Lions carry three quarterbacks and none of them can be trusted to throw the ball? How on earth do you enter a game with this? Honestly, Carolina started the year with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's better than anything we have. Then they went to P.J. Walker. I'd take P.J. Walker over anything we have. Then they went to the street and got Cam Newton. How did you sit here all year long? You watch David Blough. You watch Pete Stanley, whatever this guy's name is. You don't trust him to throw the ball on 3rd and 14 with 3 minutes to go?
Pete Stanley.
What is his name?
Tim Boyle.
Naga, not going to work here much longer.
Pete Stanley, okay.
I'm making a point. This is the National Football League. Why should we accept substandard? What's Brad Holmes doing? What's your pro personnel guy doing? Don't you comb the league looking for other QBs that have been dropped? Can we get better at this position? You went into these games saying no. David Blough and Tim Doyle are good enough. And then you get into the game, and the coach thinks so little of them that last week he won't put them in the game, and he'll play Jared Goff, dead guy. And then you go into this week, and he doesn't think enough of the kid to even try to win the game. And you're going to sit there and accept that? Tell you what. You take your Thanksgiving and you spend a moment away from your family to go watch that dreck. You deserve a safe to fall on your head like Wile E. Coyote. You're out of your minds. This guy is learning on the job. And if he were in New York or Chicago or Boston or, heaven help you, Pittsburgh, I'll tell you right now, there'd be talk about canning his ass. What he did on that field this weekend and last weekend, malpractice. And I got no time for it. This isn't about he seems like a cool guy and I want to have a beer with him. This is about, are you up to the task to be the head coach of this team so that when I get you players, you run the game right? 3rd and 14, down 3 with 3 to go and you run? What are you doing? 4th and 1, 13-7, your deepest penetration of the day. Call your best play. Hammer them. And by the way, it's legal for someone in pro personnel to go get a quarterback in here. Because it's clear you don't trust these two. Blough, Doyle, Doyle, Blough, they're both garbage. And Dan Campbell's telling you they're garbage. Guys, the whole point of it is he has to show an ability to run the game right. You're going to lose games organically. You don't need his help losing. But when he's not making the right decisions, I don't know what to tell you. Then again, you guys don't know your elbow from your butthole when it comes to football. So I won't expect anything less than very nuanced takes about, well, we have the number one pick. Because you're not understanding what I'm saying. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. How about the D Las Vegas? You want to get away? Woo! Yay, Sparty! The D Las Vegas. Everything you need to go have a good time and avoid watching Lions football. Honestly.